Welcome back to the second week in our Relationship series. It's a great series. If you were live in our Sunday morning services, you would be seeing people on stage talking about the topic that we're discussing today, but instead you get a message from me. So it's still going to be great, and I'm glad that you've tuned in. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in. You know, last week we talked about making love last. You know, it's my heart as a pastor to see that you can grow in the relationships that you know are divine God relationships. And the truth of the matter is that the quality of your life is going to be determined by the quality of your relationships. And I want you to have good ones. So today we're talking about finding family, and we're looking at a passage of scripture out of the book of Ruth. Ruth is a really unique and cool book, and so I'm just going to give you a little bit of background, then we're going to jump into the reading right out of chapter 1. So we see at this time in Israel's history, there's a famine, and an Israeli man, Elimelech, and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they leave Israel because there's a famine, and they go to Moab. Well, once they get to Moab, the husband, Elimelech, dies, and then his wife, Naomi, and their two sons are still there. They're there for 10 years. Their sons marry two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and then after the 10 years that they've been there, both the sons die. So Naomi is a widow who's also lost both of her sons, but her daughter-in-laws, as is custom of the day, still live with her and are considered part of her family. Well, Naomi hears some really good news that in Israel, the crops are coming back in because there's been rain. And so she's making a big decision to go back home. Let's jump into Ruth 1, 6 through 10. It says, "Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, 'Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage.' Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept." So it's understandable. Naomi's going back home. Her husband, both of her sons have died, but her faithful daughter-in-laws have stayed with her. And they are planning on going back, though they're not Israelis. They're planning on going back with her to Israel. And Naomi stops and says, "No, you were young enough to go back and get married. You don't need to come to a land that's not your own." And look at the response in verse 10. Both of them say this. They say, "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." That's a pretty profound statement, because they're choosing Naomi and the nation of Israel over their own heritage. And remember, the title of this message is Finding Family. But if we look at verse 14, because Naomi then tells them, says, "No, I'm too old. You can go back and have more kids. I'm not going to have any more kids. You couldn't marry them," as would be the custom of the day. "Go home, go back to where you came from, and get remarried." That's where she leaves it. And then in verse 14, we see this. It says, "Again, they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye." So Orpah said, "That's fine. I'm going back to my people. I'm going to get remarried." Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. And that's key in finding family, because I'm going to talk about the three aspects of family. And the first one is really the aspect of what it looks like to actually find family. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. It says, Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same." But in verse 16, Ruth makes some declarations that are key and they're powerful. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." In that moment, Ruth found family. And the difference between Orpha and Ruth. It's not that one was good and one was bad. It's that Ruth, something happened inside of her where she came to the realization that Naomi and Naomi's people were her people, because this is how family is found. And let me just talk about this. There's three types of homes. There's this, the home to which you're born. Like we don't get to change that. It just happens. Like, we don't get to choose our parents. We are born to them. You may never have met your mom or your dad, but you were born into that. Like, that, and I'm using this phrase somewhat loosely. You were born into this house. The house in which you were born, you don't have a choice in that. I didn't choose to be born in Lafayette, Louisiana, to Chris and Debbie Schumacher. It just happened. There's nothing I could do to change it. That's where the house that I was born into. And so that's always and forever going to be my biological family. Then there's the second type of home, is the home to which you were brought. You know, my parents took me from Lafayette General Hospital and brought me home, and I was brought into the Schumacher home. So there's the home that we're born into. We don't have any say in that. The home into which we're brought, most of the time we don't. But then there's a third type of home, and it's the home to which you belong. And that is 100% your choice. I've watched children who were born into their family, their biological family, and they were brought up and raised in that family, but there was something inside of them that they never felt like they belonged, so they left. And then I've seen people who were born into one biological family, but they were brought into another. Maybe it was through a formal adoption process, or maybe it was just I know that I'm being brought into this family, but they made the decision, that is the family to which I belong. Because here is how spiritually, like, you know, we're talking the spiritual ramifications of finding family. Here's how God builds family. Here's the first thing. Number one, He builds revelationally. That there's a light bulb that goes off and you know that you belong. Like, I know I'm a Schumacher. Like, I know that. But I also know that there are people that I belong to that are spiritual family. We may not have the same blood flowing through our veins. You know, there's no genetic connection there. However, I count them as brother and sister because it's the family to which I was brought and belong. And I want you to know that regardless of the home that you were brought up in, regardless of where you were born into, where you were raised, that if you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will join you to people where you know that you belong in a godly, biblical, loving home. Maybe that's a church home. Maybe that's a family that you're connected to. All I know is this, that family can be found. You're born into it, sure. But you also have to choose. I have to choose to love my family, because let me just remind you that though you can be biologically born into family, a healthy family is a choice. It's not a birthright. Naomi is going back to her people. And Orpha, the one daughter-in-law, honorable, good. But Naomi makes the case, listen, go back to your people, go back to your gods, you can get remarried. I'm going back to a tough situation. But something goes off inside of Ruth. There's a revelation where she says, your people are going to be my people. Your God is my God. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you die, I'm going to die because I'm with you. That was a revelation. And let me just tell you that we get to choose where we hang out. But if we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we'll have a revelation about who we're called to. I hope you're getting this, because I want you to understand in your relationships, there is a huge choice factor. You don't get to choose if the other person is going to be healthy, but you do get to choose if you are. And to know that you belong, that's a powerful thing. And I want that for you. This is how God builds. He builds revelationally. It's so powerful. The second way that we find family, the first is there's a light bulb. Like, I am called to these people. Look, I know I'm called to my mom and dad. Like, they're my parents. I was born to them. I was raised in that home. We've had our conflict, but guess what? I know I belong. In spite of the conflict, I know it can be a healthy relationship, but it will be healthy for me to the degree to which I embrace God's purpose, plan, and understand who He created me to be first, and then who He created me to be in that environment where I can honor the people that are above me as my own parents. I can honor and respect. I can love and sacrificially give. Those are revelations that we have in healthy family. Faith, it's faith, hope, and love. Like it's 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And then Paul writes, he says, you know, faith, hope, and love, but the grace of these is love. But we have to have faith. We have to believe that we are where we're called to be and know that that's a divine and God thing, regardless of whether we're born into that or not. And sometimes you may have to walk away from some really unhealthy people because they don't have that revelation about a God joining family, and it's not healthy, but we have to have faith. Like, I look at my marriage, I look at my children, I look at my parents, I have to have faith and believe the best. I have to have hope, knowing that there's good things to come in spite of the difficulties that we're all going to walk through. And I have to have love, which is always sacrificial. Love isn't a feeling. Feelings come and go. Love is a choice to selflessly give the best of you. How do we find family? Revelation. Here's the second thing, relationally. That means that we recognize that we need people and people need us. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, this is written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. He said this, he says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. For they can help each other succeed. The other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Here's the reality. You need people. You are called to find family. Who are you relationally walking with? And understand, this is the dynamics. Even here we see it, that you need people that can help you stand back up when you fall. And you need to be available for the people that you are walking in relationship with, that you've had the revelation that this is more than just friendship. This is family. This may be spiritual family, but it's family, that you were called to help them, and you must allow them to help you. That's a huge revelation. You'll never actually have family. I see dysfunctional marriages and families all the time. When, and I'm just saying, it's often the husband, not always, but it's often the husband, like the wife will say something, he'll be like, yeah, you're wrong. Like, let her help you. Like, we can go back to Genesis chapter 2, where it says it's not good that that man should be alone, and so the Lord created a helpmate for him. That does not translate to assistant or servant at all. It means we need help as men. But that's a foundation for every healthy, God-given relationship. We have to embrace the relational aspect of it and realize that we are called to receive from people as well as give. Are you able to receive from others? Because if you're not, you'll never have healthy relationships, and you will not find healthy family. You'll have dysfunctional family because nobody can tell you anything and you can't receive anything from anyone. Conversely, if all you do is try to help, you end up trying to rescue people. That's unhealthy as well. There is a balance. Look at what it says. To help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can help and reach out, can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. We don't often think of the relational aspect of family in that if you never receive, you're actually isolating yourself. Do you trust that God put divinely, supernaturally appointed God relationships around you? Then you need to give and receive. Look, it goes on. It says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Let me just remind you of this, because there's a God component. I pray you have some revelation in your relationships. God builds revelationally. There's light bulbs that go off when we're seeking Him in a variety of areas, but particularly with people. Like, who are you called to? Like, do you know? It's a revelation. Then relationally, and just recognizing that friends, really, if we're listening to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, that there can be a divine component there, that friends become the family that we choose. Because family's a choice. Family's a choice. I wrote at the very top of my notes, You choose to have healthy relationships. You can't choose if the other person in the relationship is always healthy, but you can choose to listen to the revelation of the Holy Spirit, where you know who you are, you know who He's called you to, and even if in that moment they're acting, or that season, sometimes it's long, that they're living in a very unhealthy way, you can recognize that, yet you can say, okay, you have to be unhealthy over here, but I'm going to be healthy and put up parameters and boundaries so that I'm walking in the revelation of God and in a healthy relationship. Because God builds revelationally. God builds relationally. But here's the big one, and it's so huge. God builds generationally. So if you read the book of Ruth, and I encourage you to read the book of Ruth, you realize that Ruth had this amazing revelation that she was called to Naomi, to Naomi's people. She surrendered herself wholeheartedly to the Lord, and she trusted Naomi, who ended up being a great, trustworthy mother-in-law, and helped Ruth, and Ruth heeded her advice. It wasn't without struggles, and Ruth and Naomi went back and lived in really as the lowest caste of society. And yet, if you read the story, I don't have time to go into it, and I want you to read that. So take the book of Ruth, read it. It's awesome. So Ruth had revelation from the Lord about who she was called to and what she was called to. Relationally, she embraced her mother-in-law's advice and pursued, which was way out of character for a woman at that time, a relationship with a kinsman redeemer. And you can look that up. I'm not going to explain it here. That ended up being a relationship that was divine and ended up being family, because the man that she was pursuing, named Boaz, is who she ended up marrying. And Ruth, this Moabite foreign woman, married into a godly family and ends up being in the lineage of David and Jesus, because God builds three ways. Revelationally, His family is built revelationally. Relationally, you have to walk through the tough stuff. Read the book of Ruth. Ruth walked through some tough stuff. And then generationally, because the purpose that God has for you and your relationships right now, I know you're probably thinking, I want to be fulfilled and I want to walk whole. I don't want to walk in wounding or past traumas. I want to walk fulfilled and whole in the relationship. And I really firmly believe that's what God has for you. But there's something bigger than even that. It's recognizing that you listening to the voice of God, recognizing the moments where there's light bulb moments, revelation, walking through the tough stuff to duke it out, to keep healthy, godly relationships, revelationally, relationally, because generationally, God has a blessing through you if you'll listen to His voice and stick it out in divinely appointed relationships, because you trust Him and you trust godly people around you. And in fact, as we look at Psalms 127, verse 3, it says this. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents. Whether it's biological or spiritual children. I got some kids that aren't my own, but they're mine, if that makes sense to you. That I know and love them and count them as just like I count like Pastor Josh Bigwood. Like that's like a brother to me. I look at some of the relationships. I look at like Jared and Mel Savoie. Like that's like brother and sister. I'm not, they're married, which is kind of weird, but it's a divine relationship. But we can also have children, people that we walk in relationship where we become the Naomis, where we become the generation that's older, and we recognize that there's a joining there, and we pour into them and help them succeed. And it ends up being not just a blessing to them, but a blessing to us as well. Because God has created you to walk in healthy relationship. I pray you have the revelation. You embrace the tough aspects of the relationships. You walk relationally, even when it's hard, and that you realize that the blessing is generational. What happens if I fulfill what God's called me to do and I pour into my children? This is what it says, where it says that Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. In other words, I get to walk this far, but from that place, my kids don't have to start back here. They don't even start right here because I get to, like an arrow, launch them into the future and make an even bigger impact they get to than I ever did. Because this is God's heart for you in finding family and, in all honesty, changing the world. But it begins by allowing Him to speak to you and change your world. And maybe you felt like you don't have anybody, like you're lonely. In the last few weeks, I've talked to two people that have spoken to me. And you would think it actually surprised me because they seem to have all the trappings of everything that would define health and success. And both of them, not knowing each other, said to me, "I'm just lonely. I have all this stuff. Been successful. I don't have friends." Wow. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're listening and you know that there's a light bulb that's going. You need to be a Ruth. Or maybe that's not me. I know where my people are. I know what I'm going to, but like, maybe you're a Naomi. Maybe you need to reach out to people. Maybe you're a Ruth and you need to cling. My prayer for you is that you can walk in healthy, God-ordained relationships. So that's you. I want to pray for you. And I want to connect you to relationships. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to say amen and we're going to be done. But if that's you, there's a link in the chat box underneath like for just a connect. Go ahead and click on that. Let us know what's going on. So Father, I just pray for those that are listening, that if they feel lost, lonely, they feel like they're on the outside, that Lord, that you begin divinely and supernaturally to bring people into their life, that the light bulb goes off and they know that maybe that's the house and the people to which they belong. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.